We come today to our third class in the Faith Builder series, where we will be looking at how we can grow our faith through personal communion with God. In our first class, we learned from Pastor Joe about what faith is. It is a confident expectation of things hoped for and a conviction of the reality of the things that are not seen. Close, Pastor Joe, not quite exactly. From Hebrews 11, 1-3, he showed us the nature of faith, how faith acts. He says, faith assures us that what is promised will happen. It is the conviction that these unseen realities are just as real as the things we experience with our senses, so that we live in light of them and set our hopes on them. Just like those men of faith, it says that they looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. They lived in this world and knowing this is not the world all there is, but there is another city that they looked forward to. We also saw that this faith that has confidence in things unseen is a supernatural faith. We read in 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So it says that we understand. We have an understanding. This understanding is a supernatural work of God in our lives. To be able to see or to believe that the things that are made were made from nothing. The word is ex nihilo, by the sheer power of God. And though we were not there when it happened, in the same way that we were not there when the crucifixion happened or the resurrection happened, yet we believe that they were real, actual, factual events that took place in history, and we rest our hope upon these things. We have no doubt that these things happened. How did we come to that understanding? It was supernatural. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that open our eyes to see that these things are true and real. We see another dimension to the world, not just the three dimensions that are here, but there is a fourth dimension, and that is God and the things that He has made and the things that are to come, that reality is true and real to us. In the second class, Pastor Damien led us in the study of the object of our faith. We saw that we can trust God because of who He is. He is unlike us. He is infinite and perfect in His character and being, and He does not change. Therefore, He can be trusted. Unlike us men and humans who change by the day, by the moment. Every day we are not the same, or every moment we're not the same as the moment before. And so we change, and our lives are continuously changing. We are finite and are limited in our understanding and our abilities and our capabilities. We are very limited. God is infinite in His power, in His wisdom, in His holiness. He is infinite. We can trust Him. We can rest our hope on Him. And this triune God did not only reveal Himself to us in creation and in His written word, but also in His Son, who is Scripture tells us, is the express image of God. He came to reveal God the Father to us. Prior to Him coming, it says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, He came to exegete Him, to reveal Him to us. So in Christ, we saw the Father. He said, I and the Father are one. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Pastor Damien ended on this note, which is where we will begin our class. He said the following. He says, the more we expand our understanding in the object of our faith, who is Christ, then the greater our confidence and trust will be. The more we expand our understanding, get a hold of this God, greater understanding of Him, he said, the greater our confidence and trust will be. So that's exactly where we're going to begin our class today, is how can we grow in our understanding through communion, personal communion with this living God. And so I'm just going to read just verses 32 to 40 of Hebrews, just to kind of see how these men and women, how their understanding of God caused them to do the things they did, to risk their lives and to walk in obedience to God. It says, "What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." What was it about these men and women that caused them to do these great things for God? Were they some superheroes? Were with some kind of superhuman strength? Or just average human beings like you and I? What was it, brethren? Well, I submit to you that they were ordinary people like you and me, but who believed in a great God. The object of their faith is what caused them to do the things they did. Not because they had some supernatural strength, but because they believed in God who had promised of this land of eternal habitation for them, and they looked forward to that habitation. They didn't count their lives dear to them. They're willing to risk and give their lives for the cause of this God. We read in Daniel, it says, of those who will oppose this Antichrist figure in the final days, we read in Daniel 11:32, it says, "He shall seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action." I think the King James says that people who know their God shall do exploits. They will stand firm and they will take action. Many will be seduced in those days, but those who know their God will stand firm. Did you notice? What makes them able to stand firm? They knew their God. Thank you. Thank you, Aiden. You knew I'm going to need it. This is the difference, brothers and sisters. What makes one to stand and one to fall is that this one knows his God. He has this big God theology. His God is not a little God. His God is a great God. And this is, brothers and sisters, the more we know this God, the greater our faith will grow. And then we will be able to stand firm in that day. So the way to become men and women of strong faith is to grow in our knowledge of God through the Word, prayer, and obedience. And that is what this class will be about this evening. In one sense, brothers and sisters, what I'm about to share with you is nothing new. It is the basic nuts and bolts, the ABCs of the Christian life. Nothing new here. Growing in our faith through prayer, reading, and hearing of God's Word, and in obedience. I think we, from day one, we know this is the case. Right? These are the principles, the disciplines of the Christian life that we are taught from the very beginning. But yet, how often we miss these basic things. We don't graduate from them, brothers and sisters. This is Christianity 101, 201, 301, 401, 501, 601, all the way to past doctoral studies, whatever that may be. It is the continual. It starts with faith, it continues with faith, and it ends with faith. There is nothing else that we can add. It's continuing to grow in that faith that we began. We believe in Christ, we continue to believe in Christ, and we end our lives believing in Christ. Faith is the very essence and backbone of the Christian life. We can't live the Christian life without it. Faith can give you boldness in prayer to ask great things of God and courage to attempt great things for God. There was a man who said it, I think it was Carey, who said, you know, ask great things of God and attempt great things for God. It will give you victory over the sin of anxiety because you will learn to cast your cares upon the Lord and know that He will care for you. Faith will enable you to win spiritual battles in the strength of the Lord and the shield of faith. Through faith, you can endure trials, knowing that His strength is made perfect in your weakness and that He is in control of all your situations. Faith will enable you or embolden you to evangelize because you believe in the power of the gospel to change lives. It will embolden you to pray for those dead in sin because you believe that God can give them spiritual life. Faith will enable you to endure trials and persecutions for the name of Christ because you know that we have a better and lasting inheritance that is reserved for us in heaven. So, brethren, you see the importance of faith. We cannot live without it. It is the very crux, the woven of our faith. If we don't have that, of our salvation, of our life, then we have nothing to stand on. We are just mere naturalists. And so we need to grow in our faith. As one author put it, faith will swim where doubt and unbelief can only wade. Faith will swim where doubt and unbelief can only wade. Just walk in the water, cannot get into the deep. So now let's look at three ways in which our faith can grow through communion with God. And we'll start with prayer, through prayer. Growing in our faith through prayer. Prayer requires faith, especially persevering prayer. When we pray, we believe that God is a personal being who hears our prayers and cares about the things that concerns us. That requires faith, right? We're not praying to the ceiling. Our prayers aren't just bouncing off here. We believe that there's a God who is everywhere, who can hear our prayers and is concerned about us, who's not busy doing something, you know, like Elijah told the priest of Baal at Mount Carmel. You know, maybe he's busy right now. Keep calling, cry out louder. Perhaps He'll hear you eventually. He may be busy. No, our God has time for us. And so we can come to Him anytime, believing that He cares about us and that He wants Our concerns are His concerns. We are His children. He loves us with an everlasting love. And so we come believing when we pray that we have an audience with God, that He hears us. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We believe He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. We believe He's omnipotent. He's able to do something about it. I can pray to a God, but if He is impotent, what is He going to do for me? But I believe in a God who is omnipotent, who is almighty, and who is able to do exceedingly above all that I can ask or think. He is amazing. And so we come believing that this God can do all things. When we pray, we acknowledge our dependence upon Him. And that our Heavenly Father, as we said, loves us and delights to commune with us. Now, what are some of the encouragements that we have for prayer? So I think on your notes there, Matthew 7:7. Here's what we read. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father know, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? Our Heavenly Father, brothers and sisters, is far more gracious than we, earthly Father, can ever be. And unlike us, earthly Father, He's not an indulgent and unprincipled Father, but gives us what is absolutely best for us. And just to point out, brothers, as I said in the notes, that those verbs that are these imperatives are present active imperatives, meaning keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Persevering faith doesn't just ask once and gives up. Well, I went to God, He didn't answer me, I guess He doesn't want to give me anything. That's not persevering faith. Because as you know, the story of the widow that the Lord gives us in Luke 18, this widow who's coming to an unjust judge, and she keeps saying to Him, deliver me of my adversaries. Day in, day out, deliver me, deliver me. And the Lord says He gave that illustration so that we would pray and not lose heart. We would continue to pray and continue to seek Him to hear us and to deliver us of this matter. She didn't stop until she got her request. Jesus ends the parable with these encouraging words, Luke 18:7. And He says, will not God give justice to His elect who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. The Lord hears His children's cry. And just if He doesn't answer in a way that we think He should answer, well, there's a reason. And He's all wise. And He answers in time. You remember those souls under the altar in Revelation 6? And they're asking, Lord, how long? When will You avenge our blood over those on the earth? And He says to them, wait. Wait. He will in due time avenge them. And so at times, it's when we ask, the Lord is saying, wait. Yes, I hear you, son. I hear you, daughter. Wait. Other times it may be, I hear you, but it's not good for you. Because I know what's on the other side of that door, which you don't. You see an open door and you think, okay, this is it, God. No, I know what's on the other side, and this is not good for you. I know your temperament. I know what you need more than you know what you need. Amen. Because if I give you this, you will just destroy yourself with it. It's not good for you. And so God hears and answers, but he hears and answers in the best way possible. We don't get it. We don't see it, but he does. So, in our fifth class, we will be looking at how waiting on the Lord will increase our faith. It is recognizing that God has appointed a time to accomplish his purposes in our lives. Remember Abraham? Abraham waited 25 years for those promises to come. He was 75 when the Lord appeared to him, and he told him he's going to be a father of many nations, and that his seed is going to be as the stars of heaven, the sand on the seashore. Well, but he didn't have any children. So how's that going to happen? And, well, he thought, well, I'm going to fix this. You know, or his wife thought she could fix this. And why don't you take Hagar? The Lord said, no, that's not what I have in mind. You're going to have a son from you. And it took 25 years before God made good on his promise. But he was not a day too late. God was right on time. Zechariah and Elizabeth, remember them? What does the angel tell him when he appears to him? He says, Zechariah, the Lord heard your prayer. Prayer? Wait a minute. I prayed that prayer 30 years ago when I was that much younger. No, the Lord heard your prayer and he's going to give you a child. So God's time, brothers and sisters, is not our time. He has foreordained all things. He has decreed for time and season for things to happen. 4,000 years it took from the day that the promise was given in the garden for the son to be born, the seed of the woman, right? And so one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. So we cannot rush God. He does what is best and in his time. So those of us who are parents, pray for our children to be saved from day one, right? From the day they're born, we're praying that the Lord will save them. We pray in faith and wait on the Lord in his time. So don't think, brethren, that God doesn't hear your prayers. He delights to save sinners and to give them to his son as the reward of his suffering. We believe that he has given us those children that we may teach them about the Lord, and he has purposes for their lives. Why were they not born into a Muslim home? Why were they not born into a Buddhist home where they could never hear the gospel? So we have to believe that God has purposes for them. So we pray and wait upon the Lord to do his work. But we don't stop praying. We continue praying in earnest, praying that the Lord would do his work in their lives in his time. Believing, earnest, intercessory prayers. I heard about a woman who prayed for her husband 25 years and the Lord saved him. 25 years. She never stopped praying for him, and he was saved. So how can we grow in our faith through prayer? Well, remember this, God's past and present mercies. God's past and present mercies. If you're in Christ, you have reason to bless God every day. You and I deserve nothing but his wrath. And instead, he has given us mercy. Lamentation 3:22, by this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Jeremiah is lamenting the destruction of the city, Jerusalem. But in the midst of this sorrow and grief, he recalls this truth, which gives him hope and comfort. God's covenant love and faithfulness will never come to an end. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Think of God's mercies, both temporal and spiritual, in your life, and you will be made to bless the Lord every day. Think about that. Don't just think about what you don't have. Think about what you do have. Think about the mercies of God in your life. Like that song says, count your blessings, name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. There are so many things that we take for granted, and yet our very lives depend on them every day, brothers and sisters. Take, for example, the air we breathe, which we can't live without. Who regulates the chemical composition of this air? How is it that it's got to be 78% nitrogen and 21% oxygen? Who regulates it? Do you get up every morning and check to make sure you got the right oxygen? Because if we don't, we can't breathe. God regulates it. You see, just from the fact that you can get up and breathe air, that you won't die that day, that's God's mercy to you. And you need to recognize that and give God praise. He maintains the ozone layer in order to protect us from the sun's harmful ultraviolet radiation. He gives us enough sunlight for photosynthesis so plants can absorb the energy from the sun and convert it into oxygen for the atmosphere. That's where the oxygen comes. Amazing. God does that. These things that He does daily that we don't even ask Him for. We don't even ask. Do you get up in the morning, Lord, please regulate the oxygen to nitrogen ratio today, just so I can breathe? We don't even ask Him about that. Lord, could you make sure that that photosynthesis happens today? No, He does these things automatically. Lord, make sure that ozone layer just keeps those harmful rays. He does them, and that's God's mercy to us. So He takes care of us daily. What about spiritual benefits? What about spiritual benefits? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you that you and I can't live a minute without grace. We cannot live a minute in the faith without grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without me, He said, you could do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. If that branch doesn't daily get the sustenance, the grace that we need daily to continue in the faith, we're going to shrivel up and die. Daily we're drawing, just like a branch, getting that sap, that life-giving sap from the tree in order for it to be sustained and to continue. We are receiving daily from our Lord Jesus Christ that life-sustaining sap, the Holy Spirit that keeps us, that helps us to continue in the faith so that we don't apostatize. It's His grace that we can continue from minute to minute, let alone day to day or year to year. So He sustains us daily. We're strength. Our strength comes from the Lord. That's why He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now I want to point out something that at the end of the Ephesians 6, at the end of that passage about the armor of faith, notice what is the armor is not complete without this weapon. And what is that weapon? Prayer. Prayer. Did you notice? Ephesians 6, 18 to 19. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to that end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. If we want victory over sin, if we want to see the gospel advance, if we want to see fellow believers grow in their faith, then we need to be praying and see God at work. Praying is one of the means that God has given us to grow in our faith. As we reflect on past and present mercies and that we have petitioned Him for. Some Christians keep prayer journals. You know, they put down prayers, and then when they see the prayers answered, they said answered, and they put the date. One of those people were George Mueller. Let me read to you what he said. He says, I have found it a great blessing to treasure up in the memory the answers God graciously gives me in answers to prayer. I have always kept a record to strengthen the memory. I advise the keeping of a little memorandum book. On one side, say the left hand side, put down the petition and the date when you began to offer it. Let the opposite page be left blank to put down the answer in each case, and you will soon find how many answers you get. And thus you will be encouraged more and more, your faith will be strengthened, and especially you will see what a lovely, bountiful, and gracious being God is. Your heart will go out more and more in love to God, and you will say, it is my Heavenly Father who has been so kind. I will trust in Him. I will confide in Him through His Son. Amen. This is a man you know, known as a man of prayer and a man of faith. And he said he kept a journal to see how many prayers that he has offered up to God have been answered. And through that, that encourages him to pray more boldly and to trust God more fully, and to love Him more earnestly, and to serve Him more vigorously. That's who our God is. That's how we can strengthen our faith through prayer. Amen? Now, we've looked at growing in faith through prayer. Let's now look at our second point, growing in faith through meditation on God's Word. This is a briefer point. God reveals Himself to us through His Word to increase and strengthen our faith in Him. Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. It was through hearing the gospel that we came to faith in Christ. Through the Word, we learn about God's faithfulness to His covenant promises and His intimate relationship with His servants. And that encourages our faith. How much do you get encouraged when you read the Psalms? We just saw the play of David. And it was full of prayers and psalms, and how encouraging it is that man, how did this man become a man after God's own heart? Right? It was so encouraging how you see all the experiences of life are found in the Psalms, and you get encouraged and uplifted as you see God delivering them. They cry out to God. There's a burden, there's a concern, and they end on a note of praise and thanksgiving. That is a tremendous encouragement to our faith. He's the same God who has called us into fellowship with Himself. And He desires to reveal Himself to us through His Word in order to increase our faith. He is the same shepherd who feeds His people and leads them to green pastures, who's with us in the shadow of the valley of death, and who will bring us safely to glory. Through the daily intake of the Word and through the faithful preaching of the Word, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, we grow in our faith and trust. Peter says that we are to desire, like newborn infants, we are to long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it may grow up into salvation. As infants need milk to grow, we need the Word of God to grow to maturity in our faith and character. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is what we need to grow, brothers and sisters. The Word of God is that spiritual nourishment that our souls need in order to grow into maturity in our faith, in our obedience, and in our trust. An example of how faith can be strengthened through reading of the Word can be found in Daniel's experience. I think I have that in your notes. So here, Daniel is one of the exiles who had been taken from Judea, and he was from the southern kingdom, and he was taken into Babylon. And through his reading, he comes across the passage in Jeremiah that it says that in 70 years, the Lord was going to restore the captivity back to their home. And he besets himself to pray. He sets himself and he starts confessing the sins of the people that caused them to be removed from the land. And the Lord, as he is praying, the Lord hears and he sends him a messenger. He sends him Gabriel. And he says, Daniel, beloved of God, God has heard. As soon as your prayer went up, I was sent to come and to comfort you, to speak to you. And so we see here through the reading of the word, this man is emboldened to pray, and he prays, and God hears his prayers. As we read of God's promises for us, we can lay hold of them and pray them back to God. Spurgeon has a book called Faith's Checkbook. Faith's Checkbook. He says, every promise in the scriptures is a check written by God, and you could take it and cash it at the throne of grace. So he calls it Faith's Checkbook. So we have seen, we've looked at how to growing in faith through prayer and through meditation on the word. Let's look at the third point, growing in faith through obedience. Our faith is demonstrated through obedience. We're justified through faith, but saving faith always produces works of love and righteousness. Through obedience, we will experience the blessings of God on our lives. And this encourages our faith. I've John 15:7 there. It says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Notice the blessings for those who obey and who have the word abiding in them and who are abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says his word abiding in us, means that we are hiding it and we are keeping it. We are living by it. That's what he means. We are keeping that word. What are some of the blessings? He says, one, he says in verse 7, our prayers will be heard. If you abide in me, you ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Verse 8, he says, you will bear fruit of the Spirit in our lives and glorify God. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Verse 9, we will know his love more experientially and his presence in our lives as we keep his commandments. John 14:21, he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 11, our joy will be made full. You see the blessings of obedience? More of the presence of God, more joy, more fruit in our lives, more answered prayer. Do you think that's going to encourage our faith? Do you think that's going to increase our faith as we obey, as Christ's words is abiding in us? Absolutely. Absolutely. There is blessing in obedience. We'll experience more of his love, more of his peace, more of his joy, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. What are some of the areas in which we can expect a blessing in obedience? Well, in the first place, There was the blessing of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We were told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That was the first commandment that we obeyed when we came to Christ, was it not? Is that we came, we believed. We took God at His word. We put our trust in Christ and we were saved. Hallelujah. That's God's promise and He made good. So it starts right there and you know you could trust Him for everything else. Amen? He proved Himself faithful. Two, here's a promise when we obey the Lord in the area of giving to the work of God. He says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory." The one who feeds the birds and clothes the lilies, He's promised to supply our needs. Are we willing to take God at His word? Are willing to trust God that, Lord, if I am obedient to You in giving, that You are going to bless me and supply my needs. Listen to these words in 2 Corinthians 9. It's amazing how many things He says here. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." How many alls do you see in there? All things, all grace, all times, and abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread to the and food for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. These are wonderful promises. Are we going to take God at His word? Or are we going to say, I don't know, you know, times are tough. If I give, oh, I don't know, maybe I won't have enough. And are we going to take God at His word? This is where faith comes in. This is where faith is tested. Am I willing to see what the Lord will do? I'm not talking about a way to, you know, like these charlatans on TV that tell you, you know, you give this much and God's going to give you this much. No, did you notice what He gives you? He's going to increase your righteousness. He's going to give you seed for what? For sowing. He's going to supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. He's going to make all His grace abound towards you. So your blessing may be spiritual more than physical. The third area of obedience where our faith can grow is obedience to the Great Commission. God rewards our faith by giving us encouragements. We may not see immediate salvation, but we know His word will not return void. We have the joy of sharing the good news with others. I tell you, when we were still doing ministry at the jailhouse, what a joy it was to give hope to those who are in prison, to tell them how they could be set free. Amen. What a joy it is when we go to the Good Shepherd, men who are addicted to alcohol and drugs, and to tell them there's freedom in Christ. He can set you free. Give them hope. They're hopeless. They're hopeless. They have nowhere. They have nothing. They lost everything. And they have no way out. And we can give them the hope of the gospel. What a joy it is. What a joy it is, brothers and sisters, when you go and you say, well, what am I going to say to this so-and-so? How am I going to talk? And says the Lord says, don't worry, I'm going to give you the word. And you come away and you say, wow, where did that come from? And the Lord gave us word in season, just on the spot. You know, just because we step out in faith. We were in PA, just really brief. There were two Jehovah Witnesses, and I just walked up to them and I said, can I ask you, who are the 144,000? And where are they going to be? I just came to mind. I don't know where it came from. And then, you know, the Lord just gave me the words to say to them that how it broke down their faith in that, in what they believe, you know, where they're going to be and so forth. And so, look, but it says they were a multitude no man could number, and they were before the throne. So how is it the 144,000 are going to be before the throne and these other ones are on earth? It didn't make sense. They didn't know what to say. Oh, you want to watch a video? No, I'm not interested in a video. But you see, You see, the Lord gives you, just you step out in faith, and the Lord gives you the words that you need to say. Grow in your faith when you obey the command to gather together with the saints. Just like you're doing here. Right? I trust by God's grace when you leave here, you're going to be blessed. From the word, the prayers, the fellowship, the singing. You never go away and say, oh man, what a waste of time. I wish I stayed home. You ever go away like... I hope not. No, I trust by God's grace. I trust by God's grace, you never go away. When you come to a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the word is preached faithfully, where hymns are sung, hymns, good, solid hymns, where there is genuine prayers being offered to the Lord, you never go away feeling that it was a waste of time. We grow in our faith as parents when we train up our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The Lord blesses our efforts. He tells us in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, train up your children in the fear and admonition. Don't provoke them. Train them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Now, we don't have a guarantee of their salvation, but we shouldn't expect the Lord to save them without our efforts in teaching them. So we must be faithful. And then when God does, He does bless by His grace, what a joy it is to see them walking with the Lord. An example in Scripture of a man whose faith increased as he obeyed God. Abraham. You know we have to come around to Abraham at some point. Abraham was called, in Genesis 12, God called Abraham, he was in the land of the Chaldees, in Ur, and he called him out of his land. He says, come out of your country, come out of your people, and I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to show you where. You're going to live in Canaan. And he promised to bless him and make him a great nation, and he would curse those who would do him harm. Abraham obeyed God, and God was with him every step of the way. God made good on every promise. Now, Abraham, as we said earlier, was childless, and yet God told him that he would make his descendants as the stars of heaven. It tells us in Genesis 15:6, and he believed the Lord, and it counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God and walked in faith. Now, as we said, he received the son of his promise at age 99. But then the ultimate test of faith came when he was asked to offer his son as an offering. Now, watch how this man's faith increased over time. Leave your country? No problem. Right? I'm going to make you great? Great. I'm going to give you the land? Wonderful. I'm going to give you a son? Well, that's a stretch, but okay. You see, I'm old. My wife is old, but okay, I'll believe it. All right. That son of your love, that only begotten son, the one who's going to inherit all things, I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. You see the faith of this man, and without a question, without hesitation, he gets up, he saddles a donkey, he gets the wood, he gets everything ready. He doesn't let anything get in the way of his obedience. This man had servants galore. He could have had 100 of them doing all those tasks, but he didn't want any one of them to interfere with his obedience. So that they would not tell him, what are you doing, Abraham? Are you gone bonkers? You're going to kill your son, the one that you've been waiting for? What are you doing? Did you sleep well last night? Don't do it. No. He does everything himself. He takes him. The scripture tells us this is the faith of this man. Through obedience, he says he believed that God is able to bring him back to life. There was no record of that in scripture that God had brought anyone back to life, let alone after they had been turned to ashes. But he believed. Hebrews 11:19, I believe it says, that he believed that God was able to restore him back to life. you see through steps of obedience that this man took increased his faith in God to the point where he was going to do the ultimate test, offer up his only son, believing that God can restore him back to life. He tells the servants, he says, the lad and I are going to go to worship and come back. He really believed that. The lad and I are going to go to worship and come back. You stay here. Daddy, where is the sacrifice? I see the wood. I see the altar. Where is the sacrifice? The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. So faith increasing through obedience. Are you obeying God in your life, in the areas that you know that you need to obey, the things that He has revealed to you through His Word, areas of sin that you have been holding on to, not trusting that God can deliver you from those things? Whatever it is, whatever area, where God is pressing you and you pushed off, are you obeying God in the areas that He has revealed to you? Are you allowing and saying, Lord, show me what it is that you would have me do? Where I've had blinders, where I've not been willing to comply, where I've not been willing to be guided and let you direct my life, Lord, I pray that you would help me to obey, because you know what? You may be withholding a blessing from your life because you're not willing to yield. You're not willing to go where God is sending you or where God is working in your life. You're not willing. And God says, submit today, know the blessing, and increase your faith and trust in the Lord. So in summary, we grow in our faith through communion with God, by meditating daily on His Word and weekly on the preached Word, communing with Him daily through prayer, and experience His promised blessings through our obedience. The more we know God through these means, the more our faith, hope, and trust will grow.